collectibles, knickknacks, antiques, and they even have vendor booths available. So much more for you and yours. Call them up at 383-6205, or better yet, stop by one of their two locations, 601 East 1st Street in La Junta or 304 North Main in Rocky Ford, Martin's General Store, here to serve you.
It's time for Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on AM 1400 KBLJ, a show to educate you on the best seed selections and soil preparations for residential and commercial turf, range grass, cover crops, and more. And now, Lauren Adams of Arkansas Valley Seeds alongside Pat McGee, Growing Together on AM 1400 KBLJ.
And a good Tuesday morning. This is Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on KBLJ. Also on News Radio, AM 920 KLMR. We are brought to you by Arkansas Valley Seeds and by Golden Plains Insurance. Again, a good Tuesday morning. Lauren Adams is out today. I don't know whether you want to call it vacation or a working vacation or whatever the case might be.
Well, something. It's a good something, opportunity anyway. For me to be here.
There you go. Eric Tucker's in with us today. He'll be hosting the show in Lauren's spot. And Eric, you brought a friend of yours along that some folks down in our eastern listening area down to the Lamar, Prowers County, Baca County area might be familiar with Storm.
Yeah, this is Storm Casper. He's from Springfield. He's another soil health enthusiast, and I think he's got a lot to say, and I want to hear what he says, and I think it'll be a good show.
All right. Yes, indeed. Of course, we are growing together with Arkansas Valley Seeds. Lauren Adams, again, he is out of here.
Right.
He'll be back next week with us, and hard telling what he'll be bringing next week. We'll find out about that a little bit later on. But you can still get down to Arkansas Valley Seeds in Rocky Ford. Check out all your turf seed needs there, and they also have their wildflower mix and much more. So,
right. It's a good place to go.
Good place to go. Go check it out down there. Well, Eric, I'll let you introduce Storm to our audience, if you will.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, it's Storm Casper from Springfield. He's a farmer and rancher and soil health enthusiast. And I wanted him to come on today to have a visit with some of his journey in the soil health world and see what's going on with him these days and what he might have to add to a conversation.
I always thought, Storm, that the first time I heard the term, if you will, soil health enthusiast, it was the first time we had Eric on the program here several months ago, and I thought, that's really interesting, because I would think that anybody who was into any kind of agricultural production, be it crops or be it livestock, you are so dependent on the soil, whether you're growing the crops or whether you have something growing for your livestock to graze on. I mean, if you don't have good soil, you don't have any of that, do you?
So it would seem. It seems like a lot of people just look at the soil as just something that holds the plants up, and it's much more than that.
Mm-hmm. So you're farming down in Springfield. What kind of soil health measures are going on your farm? And what are the changes that you've been seeing over the years?
So that's a good point. There's kind of in the early part of the journey, you know, we were trying to understand this, and kind of what we found going forward is the best way to understand it is just to start doing it, start implementing some of the stuff, not knowing what the outcomes are going to be. And so like this last year in particular, I started looking at some of the places we had done some bale grazing, for example. And, even the hired man noticed how the places where the bales were before and what were scattered out were much more diverse and vibrant. And it didn't look like we were in a drought on those spots. And just a few short feet away, it looked like we were in a drought. So that's just one good example I can think of.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what exactly is bale feeding? Just put a bale out and let the cattle eat it?
Well, in some cases it is. But in my mind, it's just basically rather than taking those nutrients and harvesting them and hauling them off to somewhere else, we're basically feeding them right back on the same land where it was grown. And it can be done in a number of ways. I think a really nice way to do it is to do it in strips and just let the animals have it for a short amount of time and do as much tromping and chomping as they can do and then get on with it and then let part of that stuff, a lot of people look at it as waste, but it's not really waste because it's going to feed the soil and to get it going. And so it really has a way of jump-starting small areas of the field.
Mm-hmm. Right. What kind of production are you into? I know obviously livestock. What else do you do there?
So it's kind of interesting. In the past, we were traditionally kind of a wheat, milo, fallow or grain sorghum fallow kind of a deal. we'd actually grown a little bit of corn, but once we got into soil health, we started realizing there were other crops out there that may be more adapted to the area, that crops could be used for cover crops. And so for example, triticale and rye, all of a sudden we're growing millet, those other kind of crops that have sort of a dual purpose thing. They can be human food, they can be grain, and they can also be cover. So there's more avenues to go with them than just hauling them to town and selling them at the elevator.
Mm-hmm. All right. A little more opportunity. Yeah, that makes pretty good sense. You do a little bit of cover cropping down there too, don't you?
Yeah, a little bit. Certainly not as much as we probably did. Again, we had some really nice success in the early going, and we were almost kind of dumbfounded about how well it worked. We had some really, really tough years. So this is about 10 years ago. In 2011 is when we did our first stuff. And we had about 3.5 inches of growing season precipitation that year, and yet we were still able to grow cover. So we recognized that there are some things you can do even in limited water situations.
Right. Well, it seems like having a growing cover crop would hold a lot more moisture than the fallow ground would. Just the fallow ground heats up so much faster and actually becomes water repellent.
So kind of in my mind, and we could really dive deep into that last little comment there, but you know, everybody sees the water coming down when it rains, but they don't see it falling back up when it evaporates. And I think that's the first thing that people have to kind of get their mind around, is how quickly it leaves the system.
Right. What are some of the mindsets that you've gone through since you started? You know, soil health is real important, and I understand quite a bit about it, but I still struggle to see why people just don't see the importance of it. And some of the mindsets and the disconnects just don't make a lot of sense.
So, you know, maybe it's a couple things. One thing, I think a lot of this knowledge is not really new knowledge. It's old knowledge that was known at one time that became forgotten once we became more reliant on bigger tractors or more tools and more chemicals and more things. You know, the things that might have been commonplace, say, in Thomas Jefferson's time became forgotten, right. 100 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I'd have to agree. You know, agriculture is a systems-based, high input, get a lot of free advice from the input sales and stuff like that. And soil health is kind of a do-it-yourself type thing. And after you understand the five principles and how it applies to your property, I think that's kind of licensed to go on and go forward. Mm-hmm. And do all kinds of things.
I'm glad you brought up that last thing, because to me, and you mentioned the five principles, I think what's interesting about that is you could take the five principles and go back to your place, and you can do something that makes things better at your place that might be something totally different mm-hmm. than what I'm doing on my place using those same five principles. So it's just guides. It's guides to help you implement the things you want to do within a certain framework, and that's really all it is. It's mm-hmm. not immovable objects. It's just suggestions about a path you can take to get to a better place.
Now, Eric, I know you've explained those five principles in the past. Do that again here, in case that term might be new to somebody who happens to be listening, going, five principles, what on earth are these guys talking about?
Right. So. Well, the five principles are reduce chemical and tillage disturbance, and then biodiversity, which is some of the cover cropping, mm-hmm. Just more stuff growing. Keep a living root as long as possible, and add livestock whenever you can. What's the last one I'm missing, Storm? I practice this and I take them out of order. And
keep it covered.
Keep it covered. Yeah, yeah. Soil armor.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Keep it covered most of the year. That stops wind erosion and heavy rainfall. And yeah, good. See, I'm glad you're here.
It's amazing. It happens with people where they've seen this one time or 100 times. They get in this exact same spot and like, oh, I'm missing one. You know, mm-hmm. same deal. It happens.
Yeah. If you don't have it memorized the way you always say it, you're messing it up.
Mm-hmm. So I had a rain stick out in the pickup. I forgot to bring it in, but it's actually written on the rain stick. Yeah. So while you're out looking, you know, you've got it there in case you stumble.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Indeed. You know, and it's something you mentioned, you know, the chemicals, there's been, and I think in some ways agriculture is starting to get away from it a little bit, but there was a huge influx of chemicals in the soil the last couple of decades.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And in other countries, it's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what we're thinking we're doing, what we're doing to our soil worldwide. You know, we don't have a lot going for us anymore, and it's getting even worse. And we might not have another 50 years unless we start to develop soil health and the principles of where it's at and understanding the microbiological function. And so that's what we got to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some pretty good ways to, you know, YouTube, the University of YouTube has lots and lots of information to just slowly learn and absorb and apply it. And it's kind of a worldwide context. But what's some of your background, Storm? Where have you been getting some information? I know we've both been to a lot of courses and workshops. Kind of where was the tipping point for you, and how did you go forward?
Okay, now we got to unpack a lot of things. So the tipping point for me happened right at my very first meeting. It was just one of those things that everything that was being said just made sense to me. It felt right. I understood it. And it's kind of like, this is a thing we've been looking for. This is sort of this unifying theory or this unifying idea that this is what we've always been doing, but we didn't know what it was until right. We heard it for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. It seemed to make sense before we even knew what it was. And then when we found out what it was, it kind of filled in the blanks of several questions. And it's just a kind of a mystery how something this big has been overlooked for so long. And you see, you know, soil health is valuable to the guy with the farm and the ranch and redeveloping their soil, but it's not that valuable to somebody that wants to sell you an input. So I think it's time that we kind of figure out what's important to us and how to manage for what we want and not manage for what we don't want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's different on every property, but you know, I'm trying to grow perennial grass on my place, and that's kind of what I'm managing for. So that's foremost on my mind when it comes to what I'm really doing and trying to learn.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel a lot of this has been pushed onto the ag industry, whether they be crop producers or, say, mostly the livestock producers like Storm?
No, I would almost say it's the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a hidden treasure because it means so much to the people out on the land that would apply it. And it can't be bought in a bottle, really.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Soil health doesn't come in a bottle. But there's factions out there that would like to market soil health in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And until you know the truth, it's just kind of a smoke and mirror show. I see smoke rolling, so.
A couple little things here. So one thing, you know, you mentioned about growing perennial grass. One thing I noticed back in my former life when I was working with the USDA is taking farmland and turning it back into a perennial grass system with CRP. Just looking back, it was much easier in the 1980s than it was 20 or 30 years later. And mm-hmm. in part, I think it's due to, because there was 30 more years of degradation of
yes.
that soil being farmed and the erosion mm-hmm. that happened with
mm-hmm.
it. And so, you know, it may not be obvious, but intuitively, it was much easier 30 or 40 years ago because the soil still had some of the original components in it that made it good.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you ever get the opportunity to get into a soil pit, you'll really see what the real changes have been when you realize that good soil is dark and rich and smells great versus the soil that you might get into now is
mm-hmm.
is really thin and unstructured, doesn't smell real great. You know, that's just degradation over a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take some effort to get it back, but not the mind-breaking effort that a lot of people think.
And it sounds like it really breaks down to a lack of organic matter for the most part.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's soil organic matter's been lost, and that's carbon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's changed the soil structure, and the soil structure being changed has created different difficulties with the hydrological,
mm-hmm.
you know, the watershed application mm-hmm. of it.
Okay.
So there's a few things that we can do.
All right. This is Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on KVLJ and KLMR. Along with us, Eric Tucker and Storm Casper, our guests today. We'll take a quick break and be right back here on Growing Together. Don't go away.
Hi, this is Lauren Adams. Now summer is here and Tony and I at Arkansas Valley Seeds are here to help. Are you looking for fast forage? We have honey sweet sorghum and several varieties of millet. Or let's talk about a custom cover crop to build your soil for the upcoming cash crop. Every build is unique and we have the knowledge and experience to help you get the most from your land. Drop by 98 South 12th Street in Rocky Ford. Whether it's ranch, farm, or turf, it's Arkansas Valley Seeds, 719-254-7469.
Hello, this is Branson Jennings with Golden Plains Insurance. Here at Golden Plains Insurance, we are committed to providing everyone with the best service and insurance coverage from auto to ag and everything in between. Protect your investments, whether it's home, automobiles, farm, ranch, or crops. We understand the special needs of southeastern Colorado and the work it takes to protect your interests. With locations in Walsh, Springfield, Lamar, and Rocky Ford, Golden Plains Insurance. Independent and homegrown, just like you.
Listening to this Allstate commercial about savings might be the hardest thing about getting those savings. Save for simply becoming an Allstate customer. Save more for adding DriveWise. And save even more for driving safely. Visit Allstate.com or contact your local agent for a quote today. Allstate. Minimum effort, maximum reward.
Not available in every state. New customer savings based on early signing discount. Drive-bys is an optional feature. Savings vary based on how you buy. Subject to terms and conditions. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Make getting a great night's sleep your New Year's resolution with Mattress Firm's year-end sale. Hurry in for savings of up to $300 on our top-rated brands like Sealy. Plus, get a free adjustable base when you spend $699 on Sealy. Or save 50% on select mattresses from Sealy and get a queen mattress for just $299.99. Don't wait. Shop in-store, online, or by phone with a sleep expert for these amazing deals. Only at Mattress Firm. Offer valid with qualifying purchase. Restrictions apply. Valid at participating locations only. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/sale.
Back to it on Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on News Talk AM 1400, KBLJ, News Radio AM 920, KLMR. Welcome along. Storm Casper out of Baca County, farmer and rancher there, and also with us, Eric Tucker. They call themselves soil health enthusiasts, and I really think anybody who's involved in any facet of agriculture really should be pretty enthusiastic about the health of their soil.
Right. Yeah, yeah, I'd agree with you. It's a pretty big and wide open thing, and it's got a lot of value and benefit, whether it's livestock or cropping or, you know, prairie land, farm ground, irrigated, non-irrigated, the whole darn thing is just kind of wide open right now. Mm-hmm. And during the break, I noticed Storm was making all kinds of notes, and I was wanting to know if he had something to say.
I'm sure he does. Yes. I wanted to jump in here, though, real quick. Storm, you say you're retired from the USDA, right?
Correct.
Okay. Did you have a specialty within the USDA? What was your assignment there? What did you do? Because I know there's a lot of different facets of the USDA.
Yeah, primarily it was with the Natural Resources Conservation Service, and there was probably two or three things that was kind of my area of specialty that sort of changed as time went through. So initially I was kind of a water management person that had some irrigation expertise. Later became a CRP person because we had such a huge CRP sign up and enrollment. And then later on, I got to spend some time working on soil health stuff, and that sort of led us to where we are today.
And that's kind of become your baby, if you will, is soil health.
A little bit.
Okay. Now, Eric mentioned you're down here making all kinds of notes, jotting things down, and he sounds kind of excited about what you might have on your mind right there.
Well, he mentioned the soil pit, and I got to think, we were in a soil pit the other day as a part of a CCTA farms tour, and then it reminded me I was supposed to talk a little bit about CCTA, yeah. And so that's why I started to go, oh, yeah, I got to write this down. So anyway, yeah. We were in a soil pit up, I believe we were in Washington County or Yuma County, I can't remember
up
exactly.
North a little bit here, yeah.
But anyway, we were down that pit, and we were seeing these roots all the way down, like 6 foot down, and we had some really high-end folks in there, including the guy that runs the place, and I sort of asked him a setup question. I said, so what do you think made all this possible? Do you think it was the covers? Do you think it was the rotation? Do you think it was the livestock? He goes, no, it's all the principles. You got to have all the principles to make this system work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so.
And that was grass or crop ground?
So it was actually crop ground, and that was what was kind of neat about it. This rye, you know, a 6 foot tall rye. Yeah. I took some pictures where you could see the people's heads almost sticking out the top
almost,
of it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Really, really nice. But then the root structure was almost a mirror image of it. I mean, five or 6 foot down in there. And so just one of the things that's kind of neat about rye. Once you get the hard pan situation straightened up and you get some things working in your soil, I mean, those roots have access to the full soil profile, including the moisture in that profile.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, the soil pit I was in was very telling. Just, you know, long-term, just management wasn't right. And they're starting to turn it around, and you can see where there's a lot better root infiltration and the soil structure starting to come back around. It's starting to look like chocolate cake versus, just, you mm-hmm. know, not chocolate cake, I suppose. Yeah. But it was pretty interesting. That would be a great soil pit. So keep going.
Yeah, so the other thing on that, so CCTA is the Colorado Conservation Tillage Association. I'm actually on the board, and I've been going to their meetings and their annual conferences for some time. But this year, because of COVID, we actually temporarily suspended the meeting that normally would happen in February. So we're going to have it in Burlington this year, mm-hmm. August 24th and 25th. And it's going to be an opportunity for anyone that wants to know a little more about this to come to the conference. It's really a low-cost conference with a lot of good, impactful information, and folks from all around the country come in and talk about what we have going on here. So it's an opportunity for somebody to learn more at that conference in Burlington.
Okay. Do you have information as to how folks might get registered for that if they're interested?
Sure. The website is a High Plains No-Till. You can just go to highplainsnotill.com. Mm-hmm. Or if you just look up Colorado Conservation Tillage Association, you'll find it. It's very easy to find. And then Joni Mitchek, she's our coordinator, and she'd be happy to help if you got any other questions.
Mm, okay. Very well. Very well. These are meetings generally pretty well attended by producers from around?
Amazingly so. So we haven't had one in the summer. This is going to be a little bit of an interesting twist. But in mm-hmm. February, we had anywhere from 200 to 400 people show up,
really?
Even when the weather's bad. Mm-hmm. So it's just that kind of year when folks aren't doing a lot, and it's really nice. We're just hoping we can just get a reasonable attendance.
Right, because
you're
in production season right now.
Yeah,
yes,
it's going to be tricky. We're hoping to catch somewhere between fair time and harvest time, and mm-hmm. maybe it's going to work. But I'm hoping, you know, 200 or 300 people show up, I'm going to be ecstatic.
All right, and get back into regular schedule, hopefully, for 2022.
Exactly. We'll be right back in February then, mm-hmm. shortly thereafter. Exactly.
All right. So, again, just get online. You said no-till soil?
High Plains No-Till.
Highplainsnotill.com.
Yep.
You'll find all the information on it right there. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, who are some of your speakers? I've looked at that, and I can't seem to remember.
So I'd have to go back to look myself. One guy is a really interesting guy. He's actually a professor at Rutgers University, but he has some pieces of the puzzle that nobody else seemed to have in terms of what's going on, even with the microbiology on the seed, for example. White, his last name is White, Dr.
Right.
I can't remember exactly. So anyway, he's coming out. Alejandro Carrillo is going to be there. And so me and a couple other folks from Colorado went down to their ranch in Mexico about back in 2018. And so he's going to be up, and he's ranching in the 6, 7, 8-inch rainfall area in the Chihuahua Desert. So for folks that say it can't be done here, he's got some other information that might support how maybe it can be done here.
And you're talking 6, 7 inches annually.
Yes.
Yeah.
Alejandro's a friend and doing some great work. I'm looking forward to catching up with him. Mm-hmm. That'll be a good show. That's the thing. Soil health is almost universal around the world. All the principles come together and things start to change. What do we need to tell people to get them to start thinking differently about soil health?
So, interestingly enough, for a lot of the people that have kind of been the cutting edge folks, the folks that have really kind of got out in front of this a number of years ago, they didn't do it because everything was working and going easy. They did it because they ran into something that they couldn't get around, and they had to think their way around it. And so a lot of those folks actually managed, it wasn't working in the conventional sense, so they had to figure it out differently. And so I think for a lot of folks, if they're successful in doing what they're doing right now, it's going to be really hard to get those folks to change their mind and go do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's just natural with anything.
Absolutely.
If what is working for an individual right now, why change? It's kind of that adage, why fix it if it isn't broken? Maybe it is broken and they don't know.
That's kind of where I come down on the deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the degraded soils and the high input costs, we probably running out of time with, you know, conventionally doing things that we're doing. So soil health offers a lot of opportunity. And I've seen the pictures from Alejandro's ranch, and you've been there. it's the difference between night and day. And you know, he's growing more grass on his ranch than anybody, any of his neighbors. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't anything that they added, other than they added ideas and changed their minds and philosophies and decided to dig a little deeper and change the status quo.
Now does he have his neighbors adapting his techniques here? Or is it kind of difficult to get, like Storm said, you know, is it difficult to get someone to change?
So initially, like when you drive into the ranch, there's not anyone around there that's really doing anything different. But he does have a friend, and we went to that other ranch too. So the friend is at a ranch that's about a 6,000-foot elevation in an 18-inch rainfall area about two hours away.
Okay, right.
Kind of like the Garden of Eden. It's kind of amazing how good it looks over there. But anyway, he's doing a lot of
that. That's a whole different
too.
World
It
almost.
Absolutely
yes,
is. But yes. You get the best of both worlds when you go on that tour, and that's kind of nice. But this other friend of his is managing like a 30,000-acre ranch, and it's definitely a tour to go to if you ever get the chance. It's well worth it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
Oh, heck. No, I drew a blank. What are some of the other changes that you've seen with your livestock? How's the cattle been changing?
So I guess this is sort of this metamorphosis of thinking a little bit, and we, you know, Eric and I have talked about this for some time, but I think in my mind it's just letting Mother Nature have her role in sorting them out, you know, and I'm not going to try to spend a lot of time propping them up all the time. There's going to be ones that are fully adapted to this area, and we're going to let those gals hang around and be a part of our operation, and the ones that aren't adapted, they need to go somewhere else.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm seeing that with my cows. The cattle that aren't doing as well as the other ones, you know, why have them? Why prop them up? We could send them down the road and maintain what we've got and do a lot better and not spend a lot of extra money to try to make those other cows work.
Now, is that from species to species, or I mean breed to breed in cattle, or does that differentiate just between animals?
Well, if on our place, if certain cows are doing an exceptionally good job, then why can't they all do an exceptionally good job?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this
that's
is
a loaded count. That's a loaded question, yeah. Though, is what that is. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we don't really concentrate on anything outrageous. We just want to have cattle that live on our place with what we've got to offer. And if they're not capable of doing that, then they should go live on somebody else's ranch.
On the PCC discussion group, I don't know if you remember, but we had this long conversation about that very thing, and it sort of started this whole thing where I started experimenting around with the Redmond salt and the apple cider vinegar and that sort of thing too. But what started all this deal, I noticed there's four or five cows that were in the corral every day eating on a lick tub, and I was like, well, all of them aren't in here. It's just those same four or five every day. And that's when I realized they'd identified themselves as being the ones that were struggling, and so it kind of did me a favor. So we actually did away with the lick tubs, and we did away with the cows that were coming to the lick tubs, and it seemed to make a difference.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I know I found some grass growing on the place that I hadn't seen earlier, and I putting up fence and moved the cattle this morning, and here's this grass coming along, and I thought, well, that's pretty good. So we're getting some things to change, and that's kind of what it's all about for me. And I notice my cattle are responding well to what they have, so we're just doing kind of what we can do within the five principles.
Same thing kind of with the fly thing. We got to notice, and there was a small number of animals that seemed to have most of the flies, and most of them didn't have any flies, and it's like, oh, well, I wonder what that is. And it's that same thing.
Yeah,
you know, they were identifying themselves as being less adaptive because they had more flies.
Well, that's exactly true. I've got those cows that I don't necessarily like and aren't necessarily doing a good job, they're the ones with the flies, and they're the ones that aren't holding together. But yet the other cattle are doing well, so that must just be the weak link.
And they just adapt to different situations, some better than others.
Right.
Okay. This is Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on News Talk, AM 1400 KBLJ, News Radio AM 920 KLMR. We'll get them all right here one of these times. Sure. Welcome along to listening to us. We are brought to you by Arkansas Valley Seeds and by Golden Plains Insurance. We'll take a break and be back with more from Storm Casper and Eric Tucker here on Growing Together. Stay close.
Your pickle jar holds more than just pickles. It can create jobs and make our Colorado economy stronger. Glass jars and bottles can be recycled again and again, making glass a valuable material. In fact, glass that you recycle can be back on the shelf here in Colorado as a new bottle within a month. Rinse and empty your glass bottles and jars and put them in your curbside recycling bin or take them to a drop-off center. Then your glass recycling is picked up, sorted, and sold to local bottling companies where it's remanufactured into new bottles, giving glass a second chance, protecting our Colorado wild places, and creating jobs. By recycling your used glass bottles and jars, you make a positive impact on families and our economy. Get recycling tips and take the pledge, No Glass in the Trash, at erasethewasteco.org. Sponsored by the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment and the Colorado Broadcasters Association.
Now, Arkansas Valley weather on KBLJ.
This is meteorologist Dennis Hull with your Tuesday Ag Weather Impacts. Well, heavy rain on Sunday was mainly over Benton, Prowers counties, with amounts mainly a half to 1 inch. Heavier amounts of 1 to 2 inches also likely fell south of the Arkansas River. High pressure will remain in control of the southeast Colorado weather pattern much of this week, so very little additional moisture is expected. Temperatures will average 5 to 10 degrees above normal, with afternoon highs near the century mark for Wednesday through Friday. This weekend, the ridge is expected to move slightly west and allow scattered thunderstorms to develop each day into early next week. The clouds and moisture will also help keep temperatures closer to normal. Rainfall amounts of a quarter to half inch are expected, but some farms could get close to 1 inch in isolated heavier storms. And this will certainly begin to replenish the soil moisture, which had been depleted during the dry weather of the past few weeks. Irrigators can plan for weekly crop water use to average around 2.5 inches for alfalfa and corn, while lawns will need between 1 3/4 and 2 inches. These values are about 10% higher than normal for late July and early August. Cattle heat stress will be severe during the afternoons much of this week. Sprinkling and shading will help to reduce the stress. Chemical applicators can expect winds to be a little stronger beginning Thursday. This is meteorologist Dennis Hull, and that's your Ag Weather Impacts.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Hello, this is Branson Jennings with Golden Plains Insurance. Here at Golden Plains Insurance, we are committed to providing everyone with the best service and insurance coverage from auto to ag and everything in between. Protect your investments, whether it's home, automobiles, farm, ranch, or crops. We understand the special needs of southeastern Colorado and the work it takes to protect your interests. With locations in Walsh, Springfield, Lamar, and Rocky Ford, Golden Plains Insurance. Independent and homegrown, just like you.
Hi, this is Lauren Adams. Now summer is here, and Tony and I at Arkansas Valley Seeds are here to help. Are you looking for fast forage? We have honey sweet sorghum and several varieties of millet. Or let's talk about a custom cover crop to build your soil for the upcoming cash crop. Every build is unique, and we have the knowledge and experience to help you get the most from your land. Drop by 98 South 12th Street in Rocky Ford. Whether it's ranch, farm, or turf, it's Arkansas Valley Seeds, 719-254-7469.
Welcome back. It is Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds. News Talk AM 1400 KBLJ. News Radio AM 920 KLMR. We are brought to you by Golden Plains Insurance and Arkansas Valley Seeds. Arkansas Valley Seeds at 98 South 12th Street in Rocky Ford. Ring them up down there, 254-7469, for all of your cover crop needs. They have I'm scrolling through their website right here. Lauren's the one that pulls this off the top of his head whenever he's here, Eric. But
right.
They have I mean, how many different varieties? I'm not even going to try to count how many different varieties of cover crops they have and things like that. Anything for your pasture, even your lawn at home, whatever the case might be, they can take care of you. All kinds of different wildflower mixes and things like that. They'll get you taken care of right there at Arkansas Valley Seeds. You can get online, avseeds.com. That's avseeds.com. Has a full description of everything they have. And you can also find the podcast of our past programs here on Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds. So check that out, avseeds.com. And Lauren will be back with us next week. He'll actually know what he's talking about rather than me.
So, well, there you go. Well, you did a pretty good job.
Well, that's just because I have the website right here in front of me.
Right.
So there you go. All right. Eric Tucker with us, and Storm Casper. Where did we leave off before the break? I know you were right in the middle of something, I think, Storm.
Oh, I thought we had that.
Okay. Anyway. All right. So.
I did want to talk a little bit about my experience with ranching for profit, which is kind of on topic a little bit.
Okay. Okay. Yes, by all means. Yeah.
So, ranching for profit is sort of something that morphed out of the holistic management deal that Savory and others brought to this country several years ago. And so a couple of years ago, I had a chance to go to the ranching for profit school, and I went there with this idea I was going to solve a succession problem. That's a problem I went there to solve. Mm-hmm. And so it's a week-long course, very intensive, up in Colorado Springs. And what I came away with is I realized I had some problems in the business structure of things. And so what we ended up doing, and it took us a year to do it, but we ended up forming a couple of LLCs and breaking our enterprise up into a land business and an operational business, because so much of it was mixed in with our personal business. It was very blurry. The lines were very blurry. What was a personal expense? What was a business expense? So what we're going to try to do is get our minds around the economics and be more like a business than just like a lot of folks do, where everything's all mixed together.
And you can see that because, you know, especially you were talking about cessation, you know, you've got family involved, your family finances, the business finances, they really blur together. What's the difference? They should be totally separate, but that's easier said than done, isn't it?
Well, apparently so. It took me a year to get it done. But anyway, we finally have it up and running now, but it's taken a year to get it done for me anyway. So,
Well, that's kind of interesting. I was at Brandon about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I was on the flanking crew, and there was three other guys, you know, 14 to 16 years old. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with this picture? Why don't we have more younger people coming on the ranching side and the farming side? And I got to looking at some of the depleted pastures and the expensive hay that people were having to feed for substitute feeding. And I'm thinking, we have a soil health problem here. If we can figure out how to get people to thinking about soil health and range ecology, this would probably start to turn around, because a lot of people are just substitute feeding and, you know, then chasing premiums and having issues on several other things. So I'm thinking we could bring soil health back to the ranch a lot easier, and then organize it a little better, like what you just said. I think there's some real upside to this. What do you think?
So a couple things. Al, you really unpacked a lot of things on that last deal. That's what I was going to say. I think some of this stuff, the economic either reality or the economic fallacy, can be sorted out with some of this stuff. Yeah. There's some things that the economic return is probably really, really good, and some things not very good, and we're going to help sort of sort that out. And I think that's probably a useful tool. You mentioned that deal about the branding thing, so I think I know what the problem is there. So all the young guys, they like to rope.
Okay.
And all the old geezers get stuck with Brandon or holding them down. And so I think that's how that happened, at least on our place.
No, that's not what happened this time.
Oh, okay.
Don't forget, it's north of the canal, so that's a different planet we're talking about, too. But, no, the real big thing is who wants to go into ranching anymore, you know? I still think ranching is economically the soundest business you could be in. When you think about converting sunlight, rainfall, forage, and livestock, that's pretty simple. But ranching does have a potential to be a financial train wreck when it kind of becomes out of focus. And that's where your blur effect is, and the organizational part of it. It becomes very blurry, and there's always something that's going to contaminate one thing and mislead you, so to speak.
So a couple things on that. You know, earlier you mentioned the deal about help getting people to understand or think about soil health or care about it. And I think in looking back, it seemed like the people that understood ecology, it just made total sense to them, because it was that's what the basis of it was. It was all about understanding how the ecology works. So I think that's a key thing. But yeah, that business thing you mentioned earlier, like a couple of years ago at CCTA, we had James Kofelt come out.
All right.
And he's one of those guys that's figured out how to make ranching, the beef business, the land business, a very profitable business, but it clearly is a business for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's all business. It's not an emotional thing. It's all just, you know, if I can sell land and go buy hotels and make more money, that's what I'm doing.
That's what he's doing right there. All right. Final break on the program. It's Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on AM 920, KLMR, AM 1400, KBLJ. Brought to you by Golden Plains Insurance and Arkansas Valley Seeds. We'll be right back to tie things up.
Hi, this is Lauren Adams. Now summer is here, and Tony and I at Arkansas Valley Seeds are here to help. Are you looking for fast forage? We have honey sweet sorghum and several varieties of millet. Or let's talk about a custom cover crop to build your soil for the upcoming cash crop. Every build is unique, and we have the knowledge and experience to help you get the most from your land. Drop by 98 South 12th Street in Rocky Ford. Whether it's ranch, farm, or turf, it's Arkansas Valley Seeds, 719-254-7469.
Hello, this is Branson Jennings with Golden Plains Insurance. Here at Golden Plains Insurance, we are committed to providing everyone with the best service and insurance coverage, from auto to ag, and everything in between. Protect your investments, whether it's home, automobiles, farm, ranch, or crops. We understand the special needs of southeastern Colorado and the work it takes to protect your interests. With locations in Walsh, Springfield, Lamar, and Rocky Ford, Golden Plains Insurance. Independent and homegrown, just like you.
Wrapping it up right here on Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on KLMR and KBLJ. Storm, I'd like you to, if you will, refresh on the website where folks can get on, talk about no-till, find out more about soil health.
Okay, yeah, if you're referring to the Colorado Conservation Tillage Association conference in Burlington, it's highplainsnotill.com. It's going to be in Burlington, Colorado, the 24th and 25th of August.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a little time here, but it's coming up quick.
All right.
Going to be a lot of stuff there. It's a two-day deal. You can come one day or both days, but it's very very well priced. And I would say if you're interested, get on that website or give Joni Mitchick a call, and I think she can help you out.
All right, highplainsnotill.com. All right, there you go. Eric, thanks for stepping in today for Lauren. I know we'll have Lauren back next week.
Yes, sir.
And I know we'll have you back on the program again in the future, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, so. I think it's a good topic. And I want to thank Lauren and Ark Valley Seed and Growing Together for giving me an opportunity to get out and talk.
All right, glad we were able to host you here today.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Eric. And Storm, again, thanks and great to meet you.
Thank you.
All right, Storm. That's going to wrap things up today for Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds here on KLMR and KBLJ. Don't forget to get down to the Valley branch of Arkansas Valley Seeds, 98 12th Street in Rocky Ford. Ring them up there, 254-7469, or check them out online, avseeds.com. The news at noon is next on KLMR and KBLJ.